May be seated. Let's move forward in our dissertation this morning. Take out your document. There might be some excerpts in the back. I think everybody should know about it now. Don't leave home without it. Repeat after me. Scripture distinctions. Actualization in eternity. For manifestation in time. We enter volume 2. Those that are watching, amen. And we thank God for our worldwide audience through the webcast that goes throughout the globe. Amen. And we thank God, amen, for this medium of exposure. If you are watching and listening through our webcasts and through our website, www.gracegospelministry.com.org, you go to either the audio or video sector, and there is an icon there. And click on it and be very helpful. This entire document will come up. Volume 2, Scripture Distinctions of Actualization in Eternity. From manifestation in time. Let's go where we were. Let's go to page 9. Also, and even more importantly, take out your Bibles. We're going to move back today to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13. And of course, we're going to bring in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. Page 9, we'll focus it on and repeat after me, relativism and scripture ontology. That word relativism basically is root word is relate, to relate. And here we're saying scripture ontology. Ontology is the study of existence, of being. So we're saying, what does scripturally existence relate to? This is what our focus is. And of course, as we have been conveying and will continue to convey because the scripture conveys that all in existence relate to God. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. Amen. More specifically, that portion that says that all things were created what?
In
Him. No matter what they are. You can be, even when you talk about occurrences, events, animate and inanimate objects, everything is created in Him. So it has to relate to Him if it's in Him. Then it doesn't stop there. It gives basically an outlay of what He's talking about, that which is visible and invisible. Thrones, dominions, whatever it is. It came into existence through Him. And the purpose was for Him. And it doesn't say anything about anyone else. So when we speak of relativism, we are bound to relating to God when we are talking about existence. Now, you can Gavin is our designated reader. Let's go back to, and hopefully we can go through this. Well, no way we're going to get through this, all of this today, because you all won't let me preach 3 or 4 hours up here soon. I like those looks. That's done. That's said for effect. You can always get the effect that I'm looking for. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Everybody turn there. Now, for contextual bearing, when we look at this chapter, as we have said, he said, now when brethren and I come among you, and he's speaking to the church at Corinth, when I come to you, it's not going to be talking, it's not going to be about philosophy. I'm just paraphrasing. When I come to you, it's concerning that which relates to God, the testimony of God. And nothing else in verse 2. Nothing else. That we are not going to focus on anything other than Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And that's the subject. Can you imagine the fallout if what was out on the marquee is that the only thing we'll talk about today is Jesus? So, well, I'm going to pass that church up to the next one. Because most of the time we want to focus on us. Mm-hmm. And of course it covers you if you're in Him. Mm-hmm. But the recognizable part of the entity is the head. Mm-hmm. So this is what he's saying. With all the trouble that they had, you know, weakness and fear and everything that we've gone through, and I'm just going to skip around some of this morning, you know. And Paul is saying now, everything that's gone down, the subject is still Jesus. And we've gone through a week of, if you watch the news, and I'm not going to sit here and the litany of things, and not to mention that this is the week tomorrow. They will celebrate Dr. Martin Luther King's birthday or day or whatever and so forth and so on. And I have no problem with that. But for the 1 hour or less that you're going to sit here, we need to focus on that which is beyond the scope of our surroundings. We need to prioritize the above things. According to Colossians chapter 3. Our focus should be where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. In eternality. In the eternal sphere. In true spirituality. The world of genuine actualization. Because where are we? We're in the sphere of representations, the matrix, that are devised for revelations and testimony. And as each entrance moves into that for its purpose, and that purpose is realized, it just moves on. We call it time. So time is moving. Time is really not moving. Our consciousness is moving through time, or through frames of matrices that are set up to express testimony. Now, as he writes this letter, and as we look at this context, there's a line of demarcation between that which is physical and what is spiritual. That which is seen and that which is unseen. That which is encapsulated in manifestation, that which is actualized according to the same. God spoke it. That's the true existence. And when we project beyond the noun, what we call the future, which the Greek word simply means a casting beyond. So when we cast beyond into actualization and the actuality of existence through God's word, everything is complete. Nothing is moving. Nothing is, y'all don't hear me this morning, nothing is changing. This is what Paul here showing the contrast between. Brother Deacon, let's drop down to verse 5. And go down through verse 13. Everybody got 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5, amen? All right, read or read.
We're reading from the King James Version, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning verse 5. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God.
That's the purpose of us coming together. No, if we don't get into this, we haven't had church. I don't care how much shouting you do, which is fine. How much singing you do, and rejoicing you do, because without the knowledge of this, it'll be just like a little baby. You notice a little baby, you have a little trinket up in front of him and he's happy. You take that trinket away from him, that laugh turned to a cry just like that.
That's right.
2 minutes ago, he was rejoiced. This knowledge takes you to through the turbulence of time.
Come on here.
Because it allows us to see things not in themselves, but to see things as they relate to God and His purpose for it. Why is this there? Why is this coming? What's the purpose? And this is what we should always be asking. Not what is this, but what? What is this for? Read.
Verse 6. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect,
that are mature,
yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world,
mm-hmm,
that come to naught.
Mm-hmm.
But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery,
mm-hmm,
even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory.
Now, you've got to be in our gospel, the gospel of grace, to see this. It's not in the conveyance other than the mystery. Everybody said a mystery.
Mystery only.
This is why, but you can take your time. Mm-hmm. amen, in our Sunday Bible studies, mornings, we have a document there. What is the revelation of the mystery? Take your time. Because it is through these conveyances that we come to realize and appreciate and rest in what God has said rather than what we see. So there is a difference. Keep reading.
Which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory.
I could get stuck there, but let's keep going.
But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them.
I haven't prepared what?
But love him.
But those that he's caused to love him. In other words, the eternal essence of where you are. Paul got a sort of a glimpse of that. They took him outside of Lystra and stoned him and left him for dead. So I was caught up and I heard things, I perceived things that are unalterable. That Greek word means basically that these are things that cannot be expressed in language. Paul said, I can't even tell you what I saw because there's no language to convey it.
Hallelujah.
Read.
Verse 10.
Listen to this now.
But God hath revealed them unto us.
Stop. God has revealed them to us. That's in the plural. Pronoun. First person. Now, as he's writing this, he's writing it to Corinthians. Well, he was talking to them. I used to wonder when I was first coming to the church, and as a young man, looking at the Bible for the first time, and while these are in the formats of letters, these epistle, that's what epistle means, it's a letter. Why was it formatted like that? Now I understand when I look at these personal pronouns. Us encompasses us. Who are we? Members of the body of Christ. This is your mail. He is speaking to those who are members of the body of Christ. That's us. And in that, there are those whom God has pre-deposited this comprehension and knowledge. Not all. To comprehend, to realize, to rest in, and enjoy. Peace is enjoyable. Security is enjoyable. Security. It means rest. Relax. That's what this is all about.
Hallelujah. Come on here.
We receive this so that as we go through life, even through the turbulent times and the currents, though they may be rough, we can be like Jesus down in the ship. Oh my God, relaxing. That's what this is about.
Come on here. Hallelujah.
And Paul, as he got ready to leave Ephesus for the last time, spoke of his ministry, and he also spoke of all of his adversaries and his contentions. And he said, none of these things moved me. In other words, I did not get off the track one time because whatever is there, amen, this knowledge causes us to see through it. Not just see it, but to see through it. And what is it you do you see when you look and you look through it? You see purpose. Amen. Because purpose controls process. Thing is there because God has use for it. Not just jump up. God is a purpose God. Was it a purpose I lost my job? Yes.
Hallelujah.
Was it a purpose I got sick? Yes. Remember what? In Him? Through Him what?
For Him.
For Him. For His purpose. Now we're going to continue to go through this. And Paul is, he's writing to Corinthians. I used to wonder, I said, why would he get into all of this deep dialogue with these people? They were the most con of all Paul's.
Yeah, right. Amen.
That's where the Holy Spirit does His greater work. Keep reading.
But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God.
Oh my God.
Verse 11. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God.
So the Holy Spirit has to tell us about the things of God.
Absolutely.
Because we don't know them. They are spiritually discerned. If you know this morning, and for those that are watching, if God has given you the insight, you are truly blessed. Because this knowledge, this comprehension of this concept, only comes through the Holy Spirit revealing it to you. All right, read.
Verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world.
And see that how he's making that differentiation?
Yes, Lord.
To say what we have, he tells us what we don't have.
Don't.
What
you.
Has not been bequeathed or bestowed to us.
Yes, sir.
That is the wisdom that belonged to the world. You know, that is just that gets right by us. And we get out here and things are happening, and we see things, we get involved, and boy, it's almost you can get so involved you forget all about God.
Amen. Amen.
I'm talking about us.
Amen.
And the Holy Spirit has to bring it back and kind of bring us back into focus.
Yes. Yes.
Say, hey, this thing is about God.
Yes.
It's not about me.
Lord.
That's the wisdom of the world.
Jesus.
What is this antigen? What is it?
Not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God.
Belongs to God. Read.
That we might know the things
so
that are.
We can know. It is for knowledge. Our whole purpose as a congregation is to get into the mindset of which the Holy Spirit is telling it like it is, rather than like it seems to be. What it is what God said. What it seems to be is what we see. And this is why we spend so much time in the whole theme of this dissertation. Overall, the general theme is actualization, what? In eternity. Distinguishing between what is actual, what is real, the real deal, which is where? In and the difference between that and what?
Manifestation.
What we see. Where?
In time.
We're just in a matrix, a field of representation. Simulations. For the sake of testimony. And so, what you see is not what you get.
Come on here.
Oh, I know.
Oh, I'm ready.
That's why Festus, the prosecutor, when Paul came up before, began to testify before Agrippa. Festus stopped the proceedings. He screamed, stop. Yeah. This man is crazy. No, if you start to actually getting into the essence of the scene, somebody's going to say you're crazy.
Amen.
Don't you be intimidated. Undauntedly hold to this, which has been given by revelation to the church in the present dispensation, so that you will know what is. So that you are not thrown off track by what isn't. Everybody said the same.
The same.
Not to see.
Not to see.
Oh my God, look at that clock. It's beating me up. Keep reading, Brother Deacon.
That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God.
Mm-hmm. Now, that's basically how that is conveyed there without exegesis. Everything that we have was given to us. When? In eternity. Through the same. God said it. How did you place in the body of Christ? God said it. How was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world? God said it. That you're an Arab God. God said it. Don't you have to go down to and then go through physical process and go through baptism and No. In God's purpose, some never go through any of these processes. Does that take away from the actualization of their sonship?
No.
No. Of their son position? No.
Amen.
Existence is about what God said. The same. Everybody said the same.
Same.
Not the same. Now when you teach this, you're going to be isolated. Because it's not orthodox. But orthodox simply means, what the majority believe and think. Which may be one thing in one era and the very opposite in the next. But God's word is always the same. All right, read.
Verse 13.
Mm-hmm.
Which things also we speak.
Oh, my gosh. Read it.
Not in the words which man's wisdom teaches,
mm-hmm.
but which the Holy Ghost teaches.
Oh, my God. Comparing spiritual,
spiritual things with spiritual.
Let's go to the Greek here.
Now, verse 13.
Follow us now, those that don't have the Greek interlinear, just follow with your translation.
From the interlinear Greek text, verse 13 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, which things also we speak, not in taught of human wisdom words.
Stop. He did the correct thing there. But Deacon, all of y'all, break out. I know you didn't. We didn't start and you don't have your Greek lexicon. Hmm? The word taught, what is it? No. What part of speech is that? That's an adjective. And you notice in the King James, he utilizes it as a verb. Follow here. And he said, Pastor, you don't take us on. No, we can't begin to try to explain something until we know what we're saying. Wrong utterance, automatically wrong explanation. The King James treats, and most of the translations treat this as a verb. It's an adjective. What is its declension there, Brother Deacon? I'm right. I'm looking at the form. Come on now. It is the Greek word theistis. And when we get to the latter part of that word, the verse, you will see that same form. But you notice he had to sneak something in there. Just hold out a minute. So y'all say, Pastor, you just stick with us. Taught human wisdom. It is an adjective. Taught that of human wisdom. What is taught according to human wisdom? It describes the product. What is the taught as an adjective? What is it describing? Physicality. What is it describing? Processes. Mm-hmm. What is it describing? The scene. Mm-hmm. What is it describing? Mm-hmm. The visible. Amen. All the manifestations for the sake of testimony. Thing that's around me. Mm-hmm. And if it stands by itself, it's not worth a quarter.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Y'all listen to me this morning.
Yep. Bring it out.
If you think, take that thing and isolate it, and you look at it and try to decipher from it based upon what you see, the longer you look, the dumber you get. The longer you look, the more confused you get. You cannot explain physicality with physicality. Get into scientism and they say, well, this happens and that it goes this way, so great, and where did that come from? You say, well, that goes to here. Then they even draw up formulas.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you do your little plug-ins there.
Mm-hmm.
And you try to solve the equation, it blows up on you. If you put zero anywhere in the denominator, anywhere along that line, in any of the functions, zero into, well, even if you multiply, zero times anything equals what? Zero. And when you divide zero into something, what happens to it? It decelerates. They call it infinity. That means kick the can down the road, because I don't know what this is. That's the description of taught human wisdom. Now, when you go there, somebody always take it and run the wrong way with it. Said they're teaching there that you should ignore scientism. No. I was coming along in school many years ago now. I was an honored student.
Mm-hmm.
You went into the classroom, whatever system of algorithm there were, you you work it out. So as long as you stand within the realm of physicality,
yeah,
and that's not what you're dependent upon, go for it.
All right now, come on. Mm-hmm.
Because it's called human reasoning,
mm-hmm,
which has a limit. Now he points to where things really abide. Read.
Oh, I'm reading from the Interlinear. Sorry. Not in taught of human wisdom words.
Taught human wisdom.
But in taught of the Spirit.
The same word there is an adjective.
Mm-hmm.
What is the description of taught what?
Taught of spirit with spiritual things.
Okay, stop. Taught of spirit. What is taught of spirit?
Yes.
Hebrews 11:3.
Mm-hmm.
By faith, we understand. Everybody said, by faith, we understand.
By faith, we understand.
Not by human reasoning. That according, that a creation, brother, is according to a saying. That creation of the ages is according to a saying. So that the thing that's appearing is not out of the scene. So if you eliminate the seeing, what's left?
The same.
You mean I got to go to the Word of God to forgot everything that you, if you want the reality of it. If you don't want to be confused. But the Word of God doesn't speak about it. There isn't anything, any stone that's left unturned in relation to it. And if you like wisdom and corroboration, what was that? James that said, if any man like wisdom, what? Let him ask of God. Well, if I got all of these books and all of these formulas, why I got to ask God? That's the problem with the scientism. That's why Mr. Hawking is way out and off from saying God didn't create the universe. Anybody that has anything that's actual, it came from God.
Actual.
If it's in existence, how did it? So, well, that didn't come from God. Where did it come from? The devil is creation. We got the devil creating things. Now he's very proficient at using all the defilement that's there. But he doesn't have the ability to create.
No. None.
This was all of the terrible things that came down on Job. It was by permission. That thing can't show up unless God has purpose for it. And if God decreed it, it's got to happen. If God didn't decree it, it can't happen.
It can't
manifest.
It cannot.
Who's in control?
God.
So here we have the description of spiritual, of spirituality. So here's what it boils down to. And that clock just, maybe for one of these times, y'all let me go a couple hours. Look at that. Look. I love it. I'm cognizant of time. Look at the clock there. Spiritual. Physical. Unseen. Seen. Now what's the real deal? According to 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, verse 18. If it's seen and physical, it's temporary. What does temporary mean? Not long. Even 100 years, it's not compared to forever. Not long. What is eternal? It's there. It ain't going nowhere. So now you got the physical, the spiritual, you got the seen and the unseen, you got the temporary, and they're abiding forever. Which is the real deal? Doesn't take a rocket science to figure that out, does it? But somehow, it gets right by us. And we're more enamored about the things that we see. We're more impressed by the things that we see. We're more moved by the things that we see. We're more influenced by the things that we see. I'm talking about all of us. And the Holy Spirit has to come along and rescue. And bring us back into eternal perspective. And he finishes that by saying, after I look at the taught human wisdom, which is physicality, and you look at the taught spirituality, which one are we going to embrace? Finish that up.
With spiritual things comparing.
Comparing spiritual, don't have time if I go into that, but we'll take you over. But this is where we'll jump off next week. You cannot explain physicality with physicality. You sure can't explain physicality, spirituality with physicality. But you can't explain physicality with spirituality. But to go the extra mile and to really, really get into the essence is spiritual with spiritual. Mm-hmm. Everybody says spiritual with spiritual.
Spiritual with spiritual.
Let's go to our document. Page 9 to the bottom of it. Again, we're talking about relativism in scripture ontology, or relating existence to the scriptures. Mm-hmm. Everybody say relating to existence.
Relating to existence.
Through the scriptures.
Through the scriptures.
Through the same. Not relating to existence through the seeing. Now, this just seems to be just the opposite, doesn't it? Of how my I speak of myself. I don't get in trouble. How my brain functions. What's real is what I see, what I taste, what I touch, what I physically connect with, what I handle, what I'm going through on a daily basis. If you were able to touch base with anybody that lived in 1700, 1800, and you would ask them about some problem, they'd say, what problem?
Yes.
No, regardless of what it was.
Because
right, yeah. What happened to it? It was temporary. Mm-hmm. It came and then it went.
Mm-hmm.
It left.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What matters the most is what abides. What is? In eternity, there is no past, present, future, yesterday, today, tomorrow. It abides. It just is. What is, is. And it is because it was. And always will be. Let's look at that last paragraph. Everybody got it? Page 9. For those that are watching, it may help if you can access this document. Authentically reliable doctrines invoke the criteria of consistency and stability. It's stable. It's true if it's consistent. That's the way we measure truth, right?
Yes.
If it's true, it's what? If it's not true, it's not consistent. And this is why a lawyer will try to get you on the stand and break down your testimony by supposedly showing some inconsistencies. Exploring arguments for allaying relativism summons the turning the tables or turning around contention, which is claims. This is why we got to focus on God, not ourselves. You get two different persons. This is what happens. If the way things appear to me, and that way they exist for me, and the way things appear to you, and that way they exist for you, then it appears to me that your whole doctrine is false, because what's true to me is what I see, or what I think relates to me. This is why all physicality and humanity goes out the window. As soon as you say humanity, what's the next word? Depravity.
Yes, absolutely.
In these indicia, since any or everything appearing may be true, it follows that such may be equally incorrect. We're both wrong. And the only way any of us can be right is that we relate everything to God. Because the way things actually relate to you is how they relate to God. And how you relate to God. Everything. The smallest little thing that you deal with. some time ago, I forgot something that I forgot where I put it and everything. And after interrogating the wife and Rosalind, the daughter, couldn't find it. Now, this might sound stupid to some. You know what I was led to do? And you know what? I'm not worried about you think I'm crazy. I asked the Lord, where was it? Look at some of those looks. The time went by, and one day, boom, it was like someone directed me, and it was the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And that document was in the least place that I ever would have. And don't ask me how I got there. And it was probably me that put it there. You know, like sometimes you put something up, you end up putting it way up. But now, how did that relate to God? Communication in relationship to me understanding that He knows all things. Just something as simple as that. We know nothing, He knows everything. That was the lesson there. I'm winding this up. Physical relativism. Everybody said physical relativism.
Physical relativism.
Of physically relating. It's going to get you in trouble. See, I shouldn't look at anything in this and that. Oh, no. I didn't say don't look at it. The scripture tells us that we're looking beyond it. Not the seen, but the unseen. In other words, you look at the seen and look through that and past that and above that and transcendent of that to the unseen, to give you the explication of what you think you see. We assess everything spiritually. We assess everything as it relates to. So hear me this morning. Somebody says something out there waiting on somebody this week. I lost my job. How does that relate to God? That relates to me. No. That relates to what God has for you. I got a decision to make. You're not going to make the decision. What decision have any of us ever made? Pastor, you're crazy. Remember, if it manifests, the manifestation came out of what? Decree. Remember, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. The appearing doesn't come out of the seen. Where does it come from? The same. By faith, we understand what? That the ages were created what? By a saying of God. That's every incident, every increment of every incident.
Every.
And whatever it is, it already is. Yes. And was never anything else but what it is.
Amen.
And what it is what God purposed. Meaning to say that we shouldn't go around and trying to do no. You're going to do what is decreed for you to do.
I hear you.
It was decided for you. You mean that boneheaded move I made, that mistake? God had use for it. There are no mistakes in God. Two people come together. They have children. They don't stay together. Are those children mistakes? Every one that is encapsulated and brought here was assigned specific parents. That decision that you have to make is predesigned in God's purpose. And you may go around what they call Jack Robin's bond, but that was the course that was, you don't hear me, that was designed for you.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Because remember, we belong to Him. We belong to God. We are His doings. Can the creature operate independently of the Creator? What is it about that we can't understand? Can you raise your left hand or your right hand, or your left hand or your right hand? Without being able to. Did you do that on your own? Can you think without the enablement of the thought? God wouldn't allow me to think something that's not reality. And this is what confuses us when we get over into Revelation. And in anthropomorphic language, speaks about, they say, who will go down and do what?
Persuade.
Confused. This was a conversation not using anthropomorphic terminology. Basically saying, these things are decided in heaven. And what messes us up is we go into the kingdom gospel and it says that, and I'm down radio and I'm not just making mention of it. So whatever you decree on earth is decree, whatever you decide or decree on earth is decreed. The Bible said that. You go and you exegete that.
That's right.
It says what has already been got the cart pulling the horse.
That's right.
That whatever shows up on earth was already decided in heaven instead of the other way around. Go and read that, but do more than that. Exegete it. Let me finish it up. We're going to run just a little over this morning, not much. Physical relativism thus has the strange illogical faculty of not being able to deny truth of its own accord. Indeed, if there is no falsehood, then none can ever claim or aver the opposite. In contradiction, then any doctrine is false. When we're using ourselves as mental pole, my opinion is just as good as yours. If they don't align with God, both of them are wrong. Hence, projections and assertions cannot possibly express in manners that there is no falsehood, as though the denial of what is false is typical of relativism. Unless we're talking about relativism in scriptural ontology. We make that thing relative to God, and now we got something going for ourselves. And if that means both of us are wrong, then we're just wrong. That's all that means. We're in here. If relativism simply denotes that whatever one believes is non-deniable in itself, then there is no superior persuasion to reflect other than what is predominantly believed. And this is why we don't line up with orthodoxy, tradition.
That's right.
I mean, any old dead fish can float downstream with the current, but it takes one that's live and kicking to go up against the current. When our relativism is in scripture ontology, when we go into the scriptures, know that we're always on key. Know that we're always in reliable terrain. Reliable territory. We got solid footing.
Yes, sir.
We're on solid ground. We have a foundation that's unmovable, unchangeable. It doesn't even quake or shake.
Amen.
This is why when we sing this, oh my God, we sing this song on Christ, the solid rock. My hope is built on nothing less but Jesus Christ and His righteousness. And I dare not trust the sweetest frame. No physicality. No scientism. No relativism in secularity or physicality. But holy, can you say holy? Completely, can you say completely? Lean. Where? On Jesus' name. On Christ. Can you say on Christ? Can you say on Christ? The solid rock I stand. All of the ground. It's shaky.
Glory.
It's disintegrating.
That's right.
It's unreliable.
Amen.
And it will fail you. The focus is on
glory.
Taught spirituality. And this is where we come to the actualization, as it is distinguished from manifestation.
Yes.
We'll take it up next week. God bless you.